Okay, we'll reconvene the meeting, and can we have a roll call first, and then we'll do the pledge?
Director Baltimore?
Here.
Director Muthart?
Here.
Director Vogel?
Here.
Vice President Kelly?
Here.
President Ohilski?
Present.
Thank you.
So with that, then we'll go ahead and have the Pledge of Allegiance.
Director Baltimore, will you please lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. With that, before we go to the firefighter's oath, I want to indicate there's some changes to the agenda before we proceed. Item number 6A has been pulled from the agenda. It will not be heard tonight. We will take public comment, but it's being continued to a future meeting. So we will take public comment on that. And I will take public comment on that right after the budget hearing at the beginning. So if anybody's here for that item, we'll take it up front. But there will be no action tonight on that item. So with that, then we'll move to item number one, which is administering the firefighter's oath to the new Station 15 South Bay Reserve firefighters. And I'll have the chief come up, please.
Folks, she's born and raised here. Josh and her married and moved back about a year ago. Craig's a recent transplant from Cayucas. I've known both of them for several years. And typically when we come and do my chief report, I talk about firefighters who move on to other departments. We spend a lot of effort, train them. They give us good service, and then they move on. And I'm kind of happy to report that both of these were stolen from other departments. And so we're able to get them. And I feel good about that. But I'm very happy with both of them. So I'd like to present them to you.
Thank you. I'd like to thank both of you. And with that, with that, I'll administer the oath of office. And you enjoy doing them together, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you. So I state your name. Oh, pardon me, raise your right hand. I state your name. Do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States. Okay. That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California. That I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter. On behalf of the district, I'd like to thank you guys. I know that Chief Anaris works hard on getting us the reserve firefighters, and we really appreciate you being part of our fire department. So I'd like to congratulate you and thank you. Again, I'd like to thank the new reserve firefighters. It's always really nice to have people volunteer to work in their community and shows an interest in the community. Again, I'd like to express my appreciation to all the volunteer firefighters and to the chief and to Mr. Lewin, who will be introduced later, I guess. With that, then, we'll move to general public comment.
What about
Oh, pardon me, the report out of closed session, John.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. At approximately 6 p.m., the board did adjourn to closed session and discuss those items that are listed under the agenda under A and B. Under pending litigation, which is authorized pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, the board did discuss and heard an update from District Legal Counsel related to the ongoing bankruptcy matters, but no reportable action was taken. Then, as to item number B, the public employee evaluation, the board continued to conduct its evaluation of the general manager, which is authorized pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, and that matter will be continued to the next agenda item, next public meeting of the board. That concludes my report.
Thank you, John. With that, then, we'll move to item number two, which is general public comment on items not on the agenda. So if we could go to that. Pardon? Yes. Yes.
Bo Cooper, Los Osos. I just wanted to prepare all the homeowners on the board and the homeowners at home. I wanted to prepare them to receive their first sewer tax bill this coming December. I have an email correspondence with County Public Works, at which time they wrote to me. They said, for those who have a typical assessment of $24,941.19, which is a single-family residential home, the annual assessment for those who do not prepay will step up until it reaches approximately $12,000 a year. $1,200 a year, which is $100 a month. Beginning next tax year, 2011-2012, which is this coming December, the annual assessment will be approximately $768 continue for 30 years. So that's $1,200 coming your way, but just I want you people to start saving their money. $768 is due this tax year. So it's $384 in December, $384 in next April will be due. So you need to start saving your money. I didn't want anybody to be surprised by this bill, so I wanted to make that public. You will be getting notifications, matter of fact, in the mail from County Public Works within a month or two. This is according to another email I got from them. So within a couple of months, know that you'll get a notification that you'll have a $768 additional bill. This is in addition to the taxes you're already paying. This is all new money that you need to come up with right away. The money will be going up eventually, $1,200 just an assessment, but there's also the rates and charges that will be starting once the sewer is in. There's the lateral that you need to be connecting. My understanding by my calculation, it costs you at least $250 to $350 a month in addition to what you're already paying. $250 to $350 a month comes out to $3,000 to $4,200 a year extra. A lot of people can't afford that. So I want you to think about what you could do. Contact Mr. Gibson, the supervisor, tell him you can't afford it. If you see any of the citizen heroes who go week after week to the Board of Supes who are trying to defend your home, go up to them and thank them for trying to help you and do what you can to support the good. Thank you.
Thank you, Bo. Next speaker, please.
Jerry Walsh, Los Osos. Not much happens here in Los Osos on Tuesday evenings in the way of entertainment. However, this coming Tuesday, June 7th, right here in the community center from 6 to 9 p.m., is our Taste of South Bay, 23rd annual. We'll transport you to an evening in Paris. We have French music playing, over 8 wineries and eateries. You can have all the tastes you want for $25 a person. Most tastings are limited, but we're wide open. And all the proceeds of this goes to support the very building we're in tonight, the community center. It's one of two events that go on. Please come and support it. Tickets can be purchased from any of the board members, myself included, or this evening, or from 9 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon tomorrow, or Monday and Tuesday of next week from 11 to 3. Thank you so much.
Would you repeat the times for that again?
It's all donations and rentals of the hall and our fundraisers. So it's really, really important to support these events. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other general public comments?
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos, as well as a member of those that are in the prohibition zone. In today's Tribune, there was a letter regarding Los Osos water bills, and I would like to thank June Wright for having written a letter in the Tribune May the 16th, and I think that the people in the community must realize that Golden State is not only raising their rates for water at this time, but they are proposing an additional increase in rates. Unfortunately, the letter was a rebuttal to someone in the community who seemed to have lost his way, because he does not know after 5 years that there are four purveyors in the community. He assumes that there are only two. Unfortunately, there are many people like this who take word of mouth rather than going to either a CSD member, a Chamber of Commerce organization, or any other organization that can give them facts. I would strongly suggest that the CSD reinstitute their monthly meetings, whether it be on the first Saturday of the month, the last Saturday of the month, the third Saturday of the month, one Saturday in the month in which the person who has just moved here to the community can get some information. Because otherwise, the only information they get is from hearsay. And hearsay has become a very important part of some of those in this community, and it is bogus. And because of that, I think it is a necessity for this CSD to put forth the effort for a representative to be available for questions and answers in the CSD office one Saturday a month. It does not make any difference to me as to what Saturday that is. Thank you.
And I think what the community is accustomed to is when those tech memos or those reports come forward from the ISJ or our district engineer, we get a presentation. We have a question and answer period. Rob Miller and Spencer Harris come to us and we get a kickoff, so to speak. That has not happened, still has not happened with Tech Memo Number 1, the Madaus Report, the world-renowned water conservationist. This community hasn't seen that kickoff. I know you're reviewing it in your Water Advisory Committee, but that's simply not enough. I don't think you have enough eyes from the community looking at it. It is an ISJ expense, but then it's not, because it's your water master plan. My question is, who authorized the splitting of it into two tech memos? The explanation is that tech memo number 2 is now part of the ISJ. Well, then how is that being paid for? Is that a district expense, or is just the water department? Is it, it kind of opens up a larger question that I brought to Supervisor Gibson last week at the LOCAC meeting, and how the ISJ is being paid for by percentage from each purveyor. My recollection is that the Los Osos CSD pays 38%, Golden State 37%, the county 20%, and S&T Mutual is 5%, or thereabouts. I'd ask John to confirm. What concerns me is Mr. Gibson's response to my question about the 20% that's coming from the county. In the most recent action on the wastewater project, they reimbursed themselves $8.2 million, which included their 20% of ISJ expenses. Now, the ISJ was entered into agreement long before AB 2701. And that 20% was supposed to come from somewhere else. It was supposed to be a general fund expense, because the county's portion is basin-wide. Their portion of the ISJ is to cover the entire basin. and not purveyor-specific. The purveyors are paying their own specific. So his explanation was that the wastewater project...
Richard Margetson, two comments tonight. The first one, and some of you may have already heard me give this public comment at LOCAC or Board of Supervisors 2 weeks ago. Board of Supervisors recently approved the redesign contract with CDM. The review and redesign portion of that contract is just under $3.2 million. Number was startling to me, so I delved into the breakdown of how they came up with those costs. It's a number of things that are alarming about this, but the one that I thought might have the biggest impact to those listening is, of the $3.2 million, $1.35 million of that is just for reviewing the pipeline part of the collection system. Just the pipeline portion and the pump stations. There's 25,333 hours allocated to this contract. Of that, almost 16,000 is allocated to reviewing the past documents, not designing anything, just reviewing the past documents. And based on the costs associated with that portion of the contract, it works out to, this is an exact number, but it's as close as I could get, for reviewing these documents, CDM is going to be paid by this community through the assessments and the wastewater project $6 a running foot. $6 a running foot of pipe in the street just to review the Montgomery Watson Harza project to bring it forward for redesign. The other comment I wanted to make, since CDF, sorry, Cal Fire, old habits are hard to break, swore in a couple new firefighters today. I was going through some old papers, cleaning out some things this week, and I found a contract or a proposal. There's not one thing in her editorial that they haven't stood up for and brought forward and followed up on for this community. The best thing that ever happened to this community. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll close public comment, and I guess there's a couple things. I would like to refer Ms. Tacker's questions to Dan for a response next meeting, please, regarding the questions about the tech memos and the water master plan and how they were split and about having a kickoff meeting. And I think the second question was about the reimbursement for the county's expenses out of the ISJ, or pardon me, the county's ISJ fence, pardon me, the ISJ expenses out of the SRF money. So if we could answer those two questions next time. And then Saturday office hours, that is one thing that we have been talking about reinstating, so I think that we should move forward with that. So I'll get together with Dan, and we'll come up with a schedule, and then I'll have Dan distribute it out to you guys, and you could sign up for it. I think the only thing that we've talked about, rather than having office hours at the district office, is to have it at various locations in the community. So mm-hmm. we could have it at Car Locks or, you know, wherever. So we could spread it around, so it would be a little better just having it at the office. In the past, when we had office hours, we had better attendance when it was not at the office. So that's something we'll talk about. We'll bring that back to the board with a recommendation next meeting, Dan. John, did you have something to say? Or okay. With that, then, we'll move to the public hearing item, which the item on the public hearing is the budget. And I would also point out that I'm only moving 6A after 3A. So if there is any public comment on the solid waste franchise fee increase, we'll take that after the budget hearing. But I would like to point out in that regard, I pulled that from the agenda because we did not believe that staff had adequate time to prepare a detailed analysis of the implications of that, as well as we've had some discussions with Tom Martin, regarding the franchise fee and what the impacts would be on the bankruptcy. So we need more time to analyze that before we talk about whether or not we're going to adopt a franchise fee increase. So that's the reason that that item has been pulled, but I certainly will take public comment, although it will be on July's agenda. So with that, then, we'll move to the staff report on 3A, which is the adoption.
That may result from the bankruptcy hearing currently scheduled for July 28th and 29th. Assuming the bankruptcy plan gets approved at this hearing, the ruling from the judge may still take a week or so for the court to produce. The deadline for adopting the final budget is September 1st, so we may need to schedule a special meeting in August if there's not enough time between the court ruling and the regular August 4th meeting to incorporate any needed changes. The budget package includes the consolidated budget of all funds, the schedule of reserves and designations, position allocations and benefits, an executive summary for each fund, budget summaries by account groups for each fund, and the line item detail for each fund. Other schedules that are presented but not part of the budget package include Exhibit A, which is a summary of the changes since the budget was first presented to the board on April 7, 2011, and Exhibit B, which is an historical presentation of appropriation limits established since the beginning of the district. Changes that have been made since the budget was first presented to the board include the elimination of an unfunded appropriation of $12,502 in the water fund and to include an appropriation in the amount of $1,200 for the annual sewer assessment for the water yard. These two amounts were offset by savings that result from the delay in hiring a new temporary water operator that was intended to backfill a position that has been vacant for nearly a year. Another change was made to the formatting of the schedule for reserves and designations. Since budgeted increases to the reserve accounts have recently been funded and invested, the schedule now starts with those new balances. The first column of the revised schedule was added to show the investment accounts and their updated balances as well. These balances will eventually show a bit more revenue, which will result from the year-end investment income on those reserves. Proposition 4, which was passed in 1979, places limits on the appropriations of tax proceeds. These appropriation limits have been calculated for the district's various funds, and it's been determined that the district will likely never come anywhere close to these amounts. So we're well within the appropriation limits. The recommended action is to adopt Resolution 2011-05, approving the preliminary budget, and to adopt Resolution 2011-08, establishing the appropriation limits for fiscal year 2011 and 12. One other item worth mentioning is that we received word that additional concessions by certain state employees will result in a further offset of the increase that was expected in the CAL FIRE administrative costs, a portion of which are being passed on to the district. While we're yet to receive the final details or official word on this.
So with that, then, are there any questions of the board to Dan before we take public comment? Or to Ampi, I guess, for that matter.
I guess I just had one small thing. On the summary for Fund 500, the expenses, you have the total budget operating expenses are $1,366,282, but that does that doesn't correspond to the budget number that's on the summary in the table, and maybe it's not supposed to, but it says that the total operating expenditures are $1,345,332. Is that just?
I need to know consolidated.
I'm sorry. It's the summary for Fund 500. There's no page.
Mike.
Come on up here, Amber.
Oh, okay. Good. Counting the 500. It's about halfway.
Yeah.
I
don't know what that means. It just says operating expenses. I don't see that number anywhere on the table.
Okay.
And
it's different than this number here.
Yeah. Oh, the executive. Are you tying the executive summaries?
The executive summary, yes.
Yeah. I know we have not changed the executive summaries yet from the proposed, except for a few of them. So that's something that needs to be done for the final, because it keeps changing, so we'll just change them one again.
That was simply it. I just saw the discrepancy there.
That was a good catch.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
And I would point out to both the board and the public that this is a preliminary budget, and by law we would have to adopt the final budget by September 1st. So we're talking about a budget that would be in effect basically for 2 months at this point. Okay. Any other questions? Seeing none, then we'll open to public comment on the preliminary budget, reserves, and Gannon appropriation limits.
Why is this something that's just come forward, or why wasn't it part of the finance packet on Tuesday?
This is part of the motion that was adopted by the board last month. It's a consideration to be taken into account in the adoption of the final budget, so it's not really up for discussion because it's not a factor in the preliminary budget. But for informational purposes, it's out there now.
The final budget that you'll adopt
prior to September 1st.
Okay.
So it's for informational purposes.
And by that time, we'll have the staffing evaluation back? Okay. I couldn't figure out why it wasn't here. That's it. Thanks.
That was a response to specific direction from the board. Thank you. With that, we'll close public comment. Do we have any? Oh, I'm sorry. No. Well, right now, we're on public comment on the budget. Okay. You guys are up next.
All right. I'm
sorry. It's okay. No. I wouldn't let you get this. Okay, with that then, we'll come back to the board. Do we have any further discussion or questions at this point? I would like to say that I think that the staff has been responsive to our comments last month, and I think coming forward with the two-month budget, preliminary budget, gives us enough time to take into account the bankruptcy factors, et cetera. So I strongly support this preliminary budget at this point.
I'll move to adopt the preliminary budget as proposed.
We need the specific language for the adoption here, John.
Okay, I'll move to adopt resolution number 2011-05.
And
including appropriation.
Adopting the preliminary budget, including appropriation of reserves and designations, and incorporate the changes shown in Exhibit A.
Can we take a single vote on both resolutions?
No.
Okay, then.
No, just do it one resolution.
Okay, we'll take that. So your motion is to adopt resolution 2011-05, adopting the preliminary budget, including appropriation of reserves and designation, and incorporate the changes shown in Exhibit A. Is there a second to that motion? Moved by Director Vogel, seconded by Vice President Kelly. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection to unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the motion's approved unanimously. With that, then, I think we'll have a motion for number two.
I'll move to adopt resolution 2011-08, established.
Which is the the solid waste franchise item that is pulled till next meeting. But since it is on the agenda, we are required to take public comment. If anybody has public comment on it at this point,
Richard Margetson, for the other board members that were at finance on Tuesday, you may have already heard the argument, but I'm going to make the argument. They're looking at a 4.5% increase in garbage rates for this community. That will cause an increase in the franchise fee that the community receives. And I'm sure you know by now that franchise fee basically is just a kickback. It's basically we pay them as part of our trash rates to kick us back 10% each year so we can have a fund called solid waste. My proposal at finance was that we look into the possibility, which has been done in this district in the past, of either lowering the franchise percentage to offset this increase. And I know that it may have an impact on the bankruptcy. I think that's part of the reason it's been postponed, because you probably didn't get an answer from the county and you don't know the number of what the decrease will be. It'll be greater than the increase in the franchise fee. The decrease would be if you absorb it. But at this point, I think, you know, I don't think this community needs another increase in a service charge. We're taking 10% franchise fee now. There was a time when this district actually took 5%, and there was a time when the district only took 7.5%. It's only been, I think, the most recent contract renewal that it was bumped back to 10%. Maybe it was the last two. Let the franchise be absorbed that increase and negotiate with the county. I know they're giving us a loan and this money is going to be used to repay that, but the county has much greater resource base than we do, and I think they can absorb this for us, especially if they're worried that they want this community to be able to afford to stay in this community. I think this is a small token they can make, and I think this is a token the board can make by advocating for this with the county.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gwen? Any other speaker after Gwen? Seeing none, we'll close public comment.
My name is Gwen Taylor, and I certainly hope that this board would listen to what has been said by Mr. Markison. This community is facing increases in gas, electricity, water, everything you can imagine, food just to feed your family, as well as the ability to go to work and return. It is necessary for us to take into consideration all of these additional costs, and I would hope that this board is considering those who have to pay these costs. It is not only those who are working, but it is those that are on welfare, if you wish. There are those who are finding that they are upside down in their residences. They are also finding that there are those that are unable to feed their families and must come to doing something they never, ever believed in their lifetime they would have to do, and that is stand in line in order to obtain food, in order to feed their families. This is a very minuscule amount of money, comparatively speaking. It is a way in which this board can show their compassion for the community. Don't take that knife and jab it into their ribs and twist it as they are seeing all of these increases that they are having to address. Please take into consideration that this in reality is nothing but a payback to a board organization, to Mr. Markinson, and as the cost is escalating and other things, please take into consideration you are representing us as the public, and we need you to start doing your job.
Thank you. With that, we'll close public comment, and I'd like to again point out this will be agendized at a future meeting, so you'll have plenty of notice and opportunities to come and discuss it at that time. With that, then, we'll go on to the next item on the agenda, pardon me, which is administrative and committee reports. These items are non-action items. So first of all, we have the administrative reports, and first off, leading off, is our district and CAL FIRE manager's report. Okay. And I see we have a special guest here tonight.
Absolutely. I appreciate again, Mr. President, the opportunity to sit here before the board. As we've talked about the last couple of months, when Chief Jenkins retired, Chief Lewin here beside me was your acting fire chief. Recently, as I reported last month, he was appointed the unit fire chief for San Luis County and San Luis Obispo Ranger Unit. Like saying CDF. So I invited him here tonight with your approval to introduce him to you and to give him an opportunity to introduce himself.
Thank you, Chief Inaris and President Ohilski and Board of Directors. I appreciate your welcome this evening, and I particularly appreciate the importance that you place on our reserve firefighters. Certainly, Chief Inaris and I did have our day when we got to fight fire directly, but now we stand back and give a little bit of direction and support to those that are really doing the job, and that is the firefighters and particularly the reserves and those folks that are serving over there at Station 15. I want to tell you that my goals are very simple as your chief, and that is to continue the strong relationship that we have with Los Osos. I was asking Phil to remind me how long we've been here, and it's been 7 years. They say if a marriage can get through 7 years, that it's good forever, and I hope that's the case. We feel strongly about that. I do believe our marriage is strong, and I feel like your board is as much involved in the protection of this community as we are. We do this together. You provide us the tools to do the job, and we'll do that job for you. I recognize, and I know Chief...
On that behalf of the board and the community, I'd like to congratulate you again, and we look forward to working together with you.
Mr. President, if I may, I'll continue with the April Chief's Report then. In the month of April, Station 15 responded to 106 calls, 9 of them simultaneous or back-to-back events. 5 of the simultaneous calls required advanced life support. There were 76 medical aids, 41 requiring advanced life support. 1 incident was reported as a traffic collision, 9 incident reports reported as fires, with 19 public service assists and 1 emergency and 1 classified as an other, which didn't fit into the normal categories. Company 15 and the reserves responded back to cover the station a total of 16 times. And on the administrative side, we'd had some routine maintenance to some of the vehicles. Engine 215 received a tire replacement. And Utility 15 received 2 new batteries. It's a F-250. They have 2 batteries apiece. And all of those are paid for by CAL FIRE, County FIRE, through the Schedule D that you pay for. Company 15, or Station 15, excuse me, started the budget process, which we just passed, so I appreciate that support. For training, Engineer Moriarty attended the Company Officers Academy, and we've been highlighting that through the winter time. That was the final Company Officers Academy, and all the permanent personnel have been recertified, and we did a couple of community outreach programs for both the Los Osos Family Fund, Wellspring School, and the Baywood Elementary School. As we talked about last month, we're now in fire season, and the hazard abatement inspectors will be out next week. June 1st was the deadline to have your clearance as required by the Los Osos Fire Code, Title 4, as well as the Public Resources Code 4291. And so we encourage everybody to strongly to get their hazard abatement done. And if they have any questions or concerns, they can always give us a call up at the station at 528-1053. Again, the inspectors will be out next week. And the engines and the rescue, as time allows, have been going out and assisting folks with what needs to be done and how they can continue to do that abatement. Is there any questions, or do you have anything I can answer for you?
Seeing none.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much again. Someday I'll have to tell you how I first met Rob, and then.
I was a little younger then.
We were both Rob, trust me.
The monthly water quality compliance monitoring report was submitted to the Department of Public Health with no problems or violations noted. The annual report was prepared by staff and submitted to the Department of Public Health as well. This year, the report was filled out and submitted online in an effort to become more paperless. The annual consumer confidence report has been received from the printer, and there should be a copy on your desk in front of you. And this month, we'll be distributing those to our water customers. Total water production for April was 20.2 million gallons, which is about the same as for this same time period last year. 43% of the water service area was billed for about 15 million gallons, generating revenues of about $96,000. Compared to the same billing period last year, consumption decreased approximately 7.6%, and revenues dipped about 1% below the same amount last year. In drainage, staff prepared and submitted our second annual report in accordance with our stormwater management plan on file with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. This report was submitted electronically as well prior to the April 30th deadline. I'd also like to take this opportunity to acknowledge the development of a couple of members of the Utilities Department. Nate Paul, who was hired to an entry-level position on the water crew, has passed the exam and earned his Water Distribution System Operator 1 certification. Also, Margaret Faulkner, our Utilities Coordinator, has passed three separate exams and earned herself the Water Treatment Operator 1 and Water Distribution Operator Level 2 certifications. I didn't force them to come tonight, but I wanted to publicly acknowledge their accomplishments and recognize their added value to the district. Also wanted to report on the district's Chipping Day event, which was held on Saturday, May 21st. There were five district staff members present. We had two members from Camp Cuesta Firefighting, three reserve firefighters from our station 15 South Bay, and there was a supervisor and five crew members from the California Conservation Corps, and all total we had 38 loads of green waste, and we definitely want to thank Mr. and Mrs. John McNeil for their $30 donation to the event. So it went off really well. I think everyone was pretty happy. So that's my Utilities Department report. I can answer any questions you might have.
Any questions? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move to the General Manager's report. And Fred, you're on deck.
Thank you again. On May 3rd and 4th, I attended the California Special District's Legislative Days event in Sacramento. This was the second time I had the pleasure of attending, and again, the conference was very informative and extreme. The city of Bell, California, it might be surprising to some, however, that this has led to around 18 different bills being proposed in the state legislature to help deal with the issue. While it's likely that most of the bills won't survive the legislative process, it's a clear indication that the people won't stand for this sort of impropriety. It's also clear that some form of legal requirement ensuring total transparency for governmental employee compensation will become codified as a result of this process. Several other presentations centered around the idea that certain governmental functions could and probably should shift from the state down to the local level. Jim Mayer, one of the keynote speakers at the conference, spoke about his California Forward initiative. His ideas generally fall into one of five categories. Number one, focus on outcomes. State operations should be aligned with measurable outcomes. Number two, align authority with responsibility. Funding and program authority should move to local governments. Number three, adjust the state role. The state's role should shift to oversight and technical assistance. Number four, foster regional collaboration. Local governments should be incentivized to work together. And number five, encourage integration and consolidation. State and local agencies should be consolidated and integrated where possible. It'll definitely be interesting to see how these soft sort of concepts will guide any shift of responsibility from the state to local levels and whether or not they'll come with any sort of funding resources as well. As always, we'll continue to monitor progress in these areas and report back to the board as new information becomes available. On May 19th, I attended a meeting of the American Society of Civil Engineers. This was a special meeting, which they do every year, to give the Cal Poly student chapter a chance to tell local professional engineers all about the various competitions that the students compete in each year. The different categories of competition range from technical writing and presentation skills to actual design and construction projects, like retaining walls made of paper, bridges made of popsicle sticks. As always, the concrete canoe competition is basically the Kentucky Derby of student engineering competitions. The design gets better and better year after year, and Cal Poly has dominated these events for so many years that this last year students were wondering how they could possibly improve on the previous year's design. Well, they actually came up with several innovations. First of all, they used crushed porcelain from old toilets as the aggregate. And while bashing toilets with hammers kind of sounds like fun, the students report that it really isn't very much fun. Shards of razor-sharp porcelain and dust particles flying around certainly resulted in some safety concerns and the precise gradation of the aggregate men. And by the time it was all over, Cal Poly had won all but one of the events in the concrete canoe competition and were named overall champion of the Pacific Southwest Regional Conference for the 15th time since 1995. Next, they're off to the national competition, where we wish them even more success. And as I'm sure Director Professor Baltimore can attest, there are a great many exciting things happening at Cal Poly, and we're lucky to have a wonderful educational resource right here on the Central Coast. By the way, there's all kinds of information on Cal Poly's website on the various student competitions and the successes of Cal Poly, and you can take a look at those by going to calpoly.edu. And then finally, I want to report on the fire station window project. The window contractor, A American Sliding Door, has ordered the windows for the fire station, which should be delivered in the next week or so and installed within a couple of weeks following that time. All of the bids were based on the same window manufacturer, but the contractor suggested that another manufacturer was at least an equal and had more competitive pricing. After some research, it was determined that the other manufacturer was truly an equal, and the cost savings proposal was accepted. By going with the other manufacturer, the district will realize about $375 in project savings. With that, I can answer any questions you may have.
Any questions? Nope. Okay, seeing none, Fred, you're up now.
Thank you, Marshall. We appreciate being able to give our report here. Is this on? Okay. And we appreciate you coming to the LOCAC meeting also to give the CSD report. I want to announce that we have a vacancy in District 2, and anybody wanting more information on that can call me at 528-1738. We held the officer elections at our last meeting, and Vicki Millage remained our chair, and I remained the vice chair. Carolyn Atkinson, the secretary, and Mimi Whitney, our treasurer. We can look forward to some tree planting coming at the northeast corner of South Bay Boulevard and Los Osos Valley Road. The LOCAC Council recommended approval. The Department of Public Works will provide 8 to 12 Coast Live Oaks in 5-gallon containers, and Public Works and Celebrate Los Osos volunteers will plant the trees. And Celebrate Los Osos volunteers will hand water them on a weekly basis until it's not needed anymore. There was a presentation by Public Works, alternatives for the Midtown site fence design. We were looking for something that was attractive, keeps vehicles out, draws from the lower aquifer. LOCAC wanted to look at it again. There were 4 eucalyptus trees slated for removal, but then the arborist recommended 24 more that were characterized as suckers and diseased trees, and LOCAC wanted to review that again for the 24 trees recommended for removal. RTA has an exciting proposal. It's a Route 11. It would service Los Osos directly to San Luis Obispo down Los Osos Valley Road to South Higuera, down South Higuera to Tank Farm. And then they have it slated to turn around there and come back the same route, which actually creates a couple stops just within minutes of each other in the same location. And in the Transportation and Circulation Committee, we asked them, or we brought up the idea of bringing it all the way down South Higuera to Madonna, coming back Madonna so you can access Caltrans and the Madonna Plaza, and of course there's Laguna Lake Park there, and then come back to Los Osos Valley Road and then back to San Luis. So we'll be working on that. The sheriff's report, crime incidences are up here. Lock your cars, lock your house doors, keep your garage doors closed. It's basically, I believe, crimes of opportunity. And LOCAC's next meeting will be Thursday, June 23rd at 7 p.m. right here. So thank you again for allowing me to give this report at your meeting. Are there any questions?
I have a question. Could you sort of like generally describe where District 2 is for the people that are listening?
I don't want to really do that because I'll really botch it up. So if you can call me at 528-1738, we'll find out where you live and see. I'll tell you what, it's not out by Sea Pines, and it's not south of Los Osos Valley Road. It's in town around 9th Street.
Right.
You know.
9th, 7th, 6th.
So the people that are interested should, rather than trying to figure it out, they
right.
can go
have
to
have them call me, and okay. I have a map on my door.
Okay.
And I'll look at it.
Thank you. Because we would like to see that position get filled.
Yes, absolutely.
Director Baltimore?
Yeah, just because people in the community get information in many different ways here. Can you describe the tree planting that's going on there? Will it impact the, the social vehicleness that we have in the county there at that corner? Will it prevent cars, you know, the strawberries and the honey and all that? And
the proposed planting would eventually improve the appearance of the entrance to our community and reduce the placement of temporary signs and the presence of unlicensed vendors at the corner. Not an official LOCAC statement, but from the presenter. Does that answer your question? The job better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, rail fence. Okay.
It's just one of those
things.
Yeah. Well, I think that corner is part of the personality of our community, and rather than trying to stop illegal stuff, we should have incorporated to make it legal, but the process has already gone forward, so.
Well, it's
Well, that's
two different things.
It's moving forward. Yeah. It's not gone forward. Celebrate Los Osos is who you want to contact. Yeah. They're the ones that are doing this, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Any other questions?
Thank okay. you very much. Have a
Thank
good
you,
evening.
Fred. And Director Baltimore will be attending your next meeting. So he'll have the first-hand opportunity to bring those issues up to you. Standing committee report, the Emergency Services Advisory Committee. Oh, pardon me, Director Vogel.
Really? I go to the next one?
Yeah, it's alphabetical. I went to the last one. You're
well,
next.
Yeah, hang on. I will be out of town on that day.
What day is
no,
it?
No, Director Vogel has
June
the next
23rd.
One.
June 23rd.
Oh, he has
it.
Okay.
Out of town. I'll be in
well, it's your assignment. You have to find the substitute. And I know that either the president or the vice president will be more than happy to go, so we'll work it out. With that, though, we'll move to the ESAC committee report, emergency services.
I have another question. Can we? Is it possible to shut the door? Anybody? Any objections?
Yes. Can we shut the door, please?
Thank you.
It is getting kind of chilly. I agree. Okay. For the third time now, we'll move to the emergency services.
The Emergency Services Advisory Committee met on May 25th, but unfortunately, we only had two of four members in attendance, and so there was no quorum. Maybe I'll turn it on. How about? Okay. Is that better? Can you hear? All right, good. The Emergency Services Committee Advisory Meeting was May 25th, and we only had two of the four committee members in attendance, so we are taking more applications. So that we can get a fifth member, we have heard that Lynette may apply for that position, and so hopefully I'll keep on top of that and encourage her. So we did not take any action items. The action items were put over to next month's meeting, but we did receive reports from the general manager, from Phil Veneris with regard to the local hazard mitigation plan. We discussed the item.
And I think everything that we've discussed has already come out tonight. The two primary issues that the Financial Advisory Committee had discussed was the budget and their support of adoption of the preliminary budget. And then secondly, the the increase in the franchise fee for waste, solid waste, and that item was pulled out of the agenda after some of the concerns were raised at the committee tonight. So those are the two items that we discussed, and the next meeting will be July 5th, the day after Independence Day. So with that, then, we'll move on to the Utility Advisory Committee report.
Okay. Our last meeting was May 11th, and we started off the meeting reviewing the action items and recommendations list that is attached. Had two items that we reviewed. We did form an ad hoc committee to assist staff in collating comments regarding the Madaus report. I'll speak of that later on. We updated the committee on the board's recommendation for staff to write a letter to the county, and that letter was written on written and sent May 19th, and that is attached as well. We had three regular updates. We were updated on the 10th Street tank. Dan updated the committee on the scope of the repairs, and the approach taken is discussed at the last board meeting, and ATS is taking a more active role in the repair specifications. Regarding the ISJ, work is continuing on the basin management plan. It's reported that it's going slower than hoped, and there is a possibility that parts of the plan may be released to the public as they become ready. The water master plan, the plan is tied to the ISJ. Dan explained that the contract was set up for two technical memorandums. That question came up earlier. The first was the water distribution, which was released in January, and the second is the water supply and demand, and that will be released in conjunction with the basin management. That ad hoc committee will be meeting before the next meeting to collate all of the data regarding suggestions and comments, and they will present that to the committee, and we will be able to present that to the board. In addition to that, any comments that people have for the Medalis report or the water demand analysis conservation report can be submitted to Dan in writing, preferably, they should contain specifics regarding the page number, the current text, and their comment regarding that text. That concludes my report. Our next meeting will be July 6th at 5:30.
Any questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to director's reports on attendance at other agency committee meetings. Do we have any? Yes?
Yes. I attended the RAC meeting yesterday. The highlights of this meeting, let me just remember what I wrote here. There was interesting, I don't have all the details here, but during public comment, there was a brief report on the grant received by the county, and I can't remember what that was called, but E-worm. That's why I didn't know what it... That was odd. It ended up dot, dot, dot in my notes here. They reported that that not all of the $11 million was awarded, but it was substantial at $10 million something. And they will be reporting on the next meeting, which will be in September, on the final allocation, but the amount for Los Osos should be, and correct me, Dan, it should be around 6 to 7 million, something like that. So a nice substantial. There was discussion regarding updates to the March draft master water plan, specifically sections 3.7.1, pertaining to four categories. The presentation was given as a part of public education outreach to discuss program BMPs, which target water quality and hydro modification. This came about from the State Water Resources Control Board are proposing a new general discharge permit, which may result in significant changes to county stormwater management program. A draft of the permit will be out for public review on June 6th, according to the SWRCB. So I'm not quite sure as to how that will affect us or the sewer project, but I'm sure there's some ties there. Yeah.
Any questions? Okay, then we'll move on to other reports, directors' announcements of district and community interest, the reports on attendance of public meetings, training program, conferences, and seminars. Seeing none, I believe we have no response to previously asked questions for tonight's agenda, although we will have some for the next meeting that were raised tonight in public comment. With that, then, we'll move to public comment. But before that, is there any director that would like to pull an item from the consent calendar?
Well, I have a question on that. I just have an editorial on the minutes, so I don't have to pull that, do I?
No.
Okay. On the minutes on...
Well, let's do that after public comment.
Okay.
I would also like to point out, and I failed to mention this in my Financial Advisory Committee report, the committee did recommend that the board approve item E. They recommended that unanimously Tuesday night. So just for the record, I wanted to get that out there. So with that, then, the consent calendar will stand as posted. So we'll take public comment now and administrative reports, committee reports, and consent calendar items.
Gwen Taylor, as we all know, the state of California is in a financial upheaval. Putting it mildly, it goes up and it goes down as to the income that will be coming into the state. One of the things that was brought out at the RACTION that we are going to get a larger amount of funding than we are really going to get. Last but not least, under public comment, I would like very much to encourage the CSD to make sure that they have a voice in the LOCAC meetings. Perhaps this is not the time, but there are questions that come up at LOCAC to the CSD, and we are precluded from asking those questions. And it does not seem proper for an organization that is supposed to be transparent to our community and helpful to our community to not be able to ask the CSD questions. I would hope that the CSD chair would ask our chair of LOCAC that this be available to the public to ask questions for true democracy and transparency. Thank you.
Thank you. Richard, and any other further speakers? We'll close public comment after Richard.
Richard Margetson, just briefly. It does look like we're probably tracking at around a 10% reduction in consumption in the water department. I'm still greatly concerned about the reduction in revenue over budgeted, but we'll know that in probably another 45 days or so. But what I wanted to talk about today is this letter that was attached to the Utilities Committee report from Mr. Gilmore to Mr. Waddell about the toilet retrofit program. I'm disappointed in this because I thought what was brought out that night was the concern that the county thinks that they only have to put up $3 million initially towards water conservation, and all this letter talks about is when a toilet retrofit program is going to start. The condition in the coastal development permit talks about $5 million, not up to, it talks about $5 million being set aside for water conservation. The county, in their most recent meeting where they approved budget adjustments and came up with the condition from the Coastal Commission. And I know Marshall and I have talked about this, and I think he's of the same opinion on the $5 million, but this letter doesn't ask those questions of the county. This is basically, I mean, anybody in the community could have written this letter asking when we're going to have a retrofit program and if there's going to be rebates available if we do it early. There's much more to this that needs to be found out, brought out, and brought forward as quick as possible. And if the county thinks that $3 million will have gotten us to 50 gallons per capita and attempt to save this basin, then why didn't we do this years ago? I think it's much more than $3 million. I think that's why the condition was written the way it was. And I would like an answer. This project, if this is going to be incorporated, needs to maximize that $5 million. And I think this letter was weak in that respect. Thank you.
Oh, we have a late appearance, so one more speaker, and then we'll close public comment.
Sorry, Lindy from Los Osos. At the last Board of Supervisors meeting, something that I consider completely disturbing, and I think the whole community needs to kind of pay a little attention, was the fact that the county has deemed it necessary to pay up to $5 million to CDM. I can't remember what the real company name is, but anyway, they are have some association with Montgomery Watson Harza, actually. But they were awarded this money to redesign the collection system. Now, this is a project that Mr. Gibson, our supervisor, Pava Ogren, and county staff rushed through Coastal Commission hearings. It was all about, we have to get this in because it is a shovel-ready project, and we're not going to get funding from the Obama stimulus money unless we get this project in. So what does shovel-ready mean? I guess it means nothing in our county, because it's okay to tell the people that are paying for this project that it's shovel-ready, and yet turn around in a year and a half and say, oh, we're going to redesign the collection system. This project has been one flawed project from the beginning, mostly because they tried to redesign the flawed project from the past. An example is they didn't take the collection system and turn it around so that instead of it all coming into the middle of town, the half that was coming into the middle of town no longer needed to because it's going outside of town. So if you want to talk about energy efficiency, those pipes should have been turned around long ago and sent. All that effluent should have been taken out instead of brought in and then turned around and sent back out. I don't even know, and after you get all the approvals, turn around and decide that you're going to start throwing more money at it. This is taxpayer money that's funding this project, and it's so out of control. I hope that people will wake up and support lawsuits that are coming to stop it and get back on track to a comparative process. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, then, we'll close public comment. So, Director Baltimore, you had a question on one of the consent item agendas?
Well, yeah. Just on the minutes. So, minutes from the last meeting, May 5th, page 4, item F. The main topic of this item was to have proposals reflect district expectations. So in the bold item where it says the third line, 10th Street tank as amended to reflect district expectations, and then it's fine. That's what the amendment was about. Does that make sense? Okay. But that was my recall, is that we gave direction to staff to make sure the proposal reflected district expectations. And
That was my understanding also. So we can take that as a correction here. So do we have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Thank you. Do we have any discussion? Or we need a second first, I guess.
I'll second the motion.
Do we have any discussion now? Any objection to unanimous roll call? And you're not going to get a call roll tonight, I'm sorry. With that, then, we'll The consent calendar will be approved unanimously. And in response to the public comment, I will be, General Manager Gilmore and myself will be discussing potentially a follow-up letter to that original letter regarding the $5 million. So I think the intent of that letter was different than the $5 million issue. The intent was to get going on the program rather than to discuss the exact amount of it. So you and I, Dan, will discuss that over the next period of time, and we'll see if we need to follow up with another letter or just some informal conversations with the county.
We also had a discussion with utility.
Which brings us to 6B. Consider LAFCO, local agency formation commission request for nominations for alternate special district member.
Yes, thank you. On May 4th, the district received notice requesting nominations for the alternate special district member seat on the LAFCO Board of Directors. The election is required due to the expiration of the prior term, which occurred in December of 2010. According to the notice, the appointment could not be completed by the independent special district selection committee due to difficulty in gathering a quorum. In the event that a meeting of the selection committee is not feasible, the government code allows the LAFCO executive officer to conduct the business of the committee in writing or via email. This new term will run to December of 2014. The recommendation before you tonight is to consider nominations for the alternate special district member on the local agency formation commission, and by motion nominate LOCSD Board President Marshall Ohilski for the position.
Oh, I'm sorry. So we have a. I'm sorry. Do we have any? I was off somewhere else. Do we have any questions of the general manager? Seeing none, do we have any public comment on this issue? I would like to, for informational purposes, I would like to indicate to the public there are three special district members on LAFCO, two that sit on LAFCO and one alternate member, and we just elected the two regular members, Merle Cliff from Cambria and Ed Eby from Napomo. So this is to fill the alternate position. Thank you. Richard?
Just quickly, that was part of that was going to be my question, if Merle Cliff would remain. I'm totally for having a representative from Los Osos. We used to have one years ago, being the largest population center in this district. I think we need representation. There was a time when this district had no representation on LAFCO. Mr. Gibson's district. It'd be nice now to have two. Thank you.
Thank you. I hope that means you're supporting me.
Oh.
I just wanted to make sure for the record. With that, then, do we have any further discussion? Can we have a motion? So we have a motion to nominate the president, myself. Is there any further discussion? Any objection to unanimous roll call? Seeing none. Director Kelly, you have an additional motion.
I move that that I be authorized to sign the support letter on behalf of our nomination for the district.
Any discussion? Oh, second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Okay. Unanimous roll call again? No objection? I'd like to thank the board for their support. We'll be out there campaigning tomorrow. Actually, I think that I do have the support of both Merle and Ed Eby, so I think hopefully we'll get this done. So that brings us to the last item, 6C, which is the the casting of ballots for the SDRM authority, SDRMA.
Yes, thank you. The Special District Risk Management Authority currently provides the district's workers' comp insurance. And this item is for to consider voting for candidates for three seats on the SDRMA's board of directors. And if there's consensus, resolution 2011-10 is included in the packet here, and we would be looking for your approval of that resolution to enter the votes. The SDRMA's election committee reviewed the nomination documents submitted by the candidates and confirmed that seven candidates met the qualification requirements. The seven candidates have submitted statements regarding their interest in serving on the SDRMA Board of Directors, and these candidate statements are included in the agenda packet. Of the seven candidates, Edmund Sprague of the Olevenhein Municipal Water District, Ed Gray, the Chino Valley Independent Fire District, those are the only two incumbents on the list of candidates. The term is for these three seats will be for 4 years, beginning January 1st, 2012, and they'll expire on December 31st of 2015.
Are there any questions? Do we have any public comment on this issue? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. I have no comments at this point. I mean,
and I have to apologize. I don't know anything about the
candidates. The SDRMA is an important part of the special districts organization, but quite frankly, I don't know any of the candidates.
Litigation has sort of written the standard for Prop 218 interpretation related to water rates and the need for a Prop 218 protest proceeding for water rates. I just bring that to your attention only because that district has to be very familiar with water rates and how they're implemented. When you hear a Supreme Court case that interpreted Prop 218 in applying to water rates, that's the district that was involved in that litigation. I'm not suggesting a vote one way or another, but anytime I see that district's name, it just brings.
Well, the SDRMA, though, I mean, they're an insurer, are they not?
Correct.
Risk assessment.
And that same person has insurance industry background.
Well, I'm open to any suggestions here.
I read.
I don't know about that. I can tell you spelling of one of the candidates.
Yeah.
This one right here.
It's the first one.
You have two incumbents, and then if you go with Bighorn, you have three. I mean, that's. But I to me, it's problematic to cast a vote for somebody you don't know.
I agree.
So, I need the pleasure of the board here.
Well, I think we just have to base our decision on what we're being offered. So I think that, you know, I'm comfortable making two votes, but. There's only two people that I see that I'm comfortable with.
All right. Well, let's go to public comment now that we've got the questions over. Well, I thought Gwen had an additional.
We're going back to public comment.
I'm trying to delay the meeting. Additional question.
Mr. Seitz was quite forthcoming with one comment. My question to Mr. Seitz is, are any of these persons prone towards privatization of water companies, or does he know?
Thank you. John, do you have?
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, I guess it's a question. So I need to know where you want to go with this. Somebody needs
I'm
to make.
I'm comfortable casting a vote for incumbent Sprague and then Terry Burkhart from Bighorn. Those were the only two that I mean, we can't base it on anything other than what we were given.
I know. I knew you would bring that up, Craig.
Well, there's more than one word misspelled there. Yeah. So.
But, he was in a hurry.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's the pleasure of the board? I mean, it seems to be a consensus that you want to go with Terry Burkhart.
I'd like to. I mean, I'm fine with Mike. Okay, then I propose that we vote for Terry Burkhart, Sprague, and Schaefer. I mean, I think it's important to cast a vote. I think that just saying we don't know, I think we have that, we can read what we've read and come to some sort of conclusion and go ahead and support.
Well, I'm all for like the both incumbents and then one other. Those were just my two choices, Schaefer and Burkhart.
Well, if we go with two incumbents, then you got Sprague and Gray
and then
Burkhart. But the one incumbent was just recently appointed, so
mm-hmm. I think it was Gray.
They were appointed in November of 2010.
I think it was Gray from Chino.
Yeah, it was gray. It was appointed in November of 2010. So.
Oh, so he has barely served. So I don't always like to vote for incumbents, but.
Yeah. Well, we could vote for Sprague and Burkhardt and just leave it at those two if that's. Yeah. Because, I mean, I think we have a consensus on those two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
Okay. Yes. So I propose a motion that we cast votes for Edmund Sprague and Terry Burkhardt for the SDRMA Board of Directors.
Moved by Director Moodhart, seconded by Vice President Kelly. Any discussion? Any objection? Unanimous roll call. We got through the whole night, no roll calls. And I'm sorry, Ann. Okay, with that then, we'll get to the end of the meeting here. We have no continued general public comment because we closed it out at the beginning. Any closing board comments? We'll start with Director Vogel, move through Director Moodhart, Baltimore, Kelly, and me.
Well, I just want to thank the public for coming and participating, and I'd like to encourage more participation on some of the committees that we have. We can use more committee members, so get those applications and send them in.
They're on
our website.
Yep, thank you.
I don't have
anything. Okay. Go ahead.
I found it. I keep forgetting to say. We forget to mention the Small Wilderness Area Preserve. Over this, the Elfin Forest, there's work parties on the first Saturday of every month. They start at 9 a.m. It's really, that entire area is maintained by volunteers. If there's members within the community, community members that are willing to help work and support that really special place, please meet at the north end of 15th Street. Don't park. Please be careful about parking in front of driveways and mailboxes, but I'm always getting notifications, and they're always requesting support and help, and I would really encourage people to participate and help out doing that. And then Anne's holding up. Are you going to do the electronic waste recycling? Okay, that's all.
Yes, I was going to do that. We have upcoming the electronic waste recycling, and this will be posted on Channel 20. Saturday, July 9th. This is a good opportunity. There's drop-offs during the week, and then on Saturday the 9th, it's a good opportunity to get rid of your hazardous materials that a lot of people have in their house, which are computer monitors, TV, laptops, printers, phones, etc. So this is something that's important to get rid of this hazardous material. We have the Taste of the South Bay, which people have talked about. Trinity Methodist Church. Pine and Los Osos Valley Road, same place it always is. We do have the Taste of South Bay on June 7th. Unfortunately, we have a conflicting event that night. So we also have Sheriff Parkinson is coming out that night at the South Bay Training Center, which is formerly Sunnyside School. Most people know it as. That's going to be from 6 to 7:30. So I think people have the opportunity to go see the sheriff. Because this is the first time he's come out here, so I want to make sure we get people out there and ask questions and make sure he stays involved in the community. And then you have time to go to that, and right afterwards you can go right over to the Taste of South Bay. So make it a full evening. Mm-hmm. Start out with the sheriff and finish up with the Taste of France. Yeah.
And hope the sheriff doesn't come back and visit.
Well, don't do that in the reverse.
Quite frankly, I'm going to invite Ian over to Taste of South Bay, hopefully he'll come over. So anyways, with that, we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. The next meeting will be on July 7th. Thank you.